sweet hour of prayer. 274. In prayer, asking for God's blessing on our next service with Brother Wayne Curnier.
Gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We approach at this time to offer thee thanks for all of thy goodness that has brought us to this place and time. We again seek thy forgiveness for where we have come short in any way. Ask for the next hour or so thy blessing, a greater measure of thy spirit and grace upon us, especially upon two speakers who will continue to break forward to us the bread of life on this topic of prayer. Grace to be with them upon their hearts, their minds, and upon their lips, that all things said will be unto thy glory and edification to those of us here awaiting this message, that these things will help us to continue to grow into the likeness of Christ, that we may come into full accord with thee in all thy righteousness, in all things, Heavenly Father, proving unto thy glory. Through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Brethren, we trust the noon meal was satisfactory in filling one need. That was only the appetizer. We now move back to our main course, and we have two brothers that will serve with a symposium. Brother Barry Cooley will speak first on praying for wisdom, and Brother Edgar Buckley will speak on intercessory prayer, and Brother Barry will be followed right after with Brother Edgar. There will be no intermission between the two. So without further ado, we turn the podium over to Brother Barry.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Brethren, we count it a great joy and a privilege to be with you in convention here in Prince Albert. We have always treasured our connection with Prince Albert as a sister ecclesia in this rather large but empty country, as far as the truth is concerned, of Canada. We do appreciate the fellowship we have whenever we are given that opportunity with those of like precious faith. Sister Lucy and I are very happy to be here. We weren't able to make it last year. I've been given the task of exploring the question of praying for wisdom in connection with the theme of praying without ceasing, which the brethren here have chosen. A very good theme. I think an admonition that we all can inculcate more and more into our spiritual life. Prayer, and prayer in particular, for wisdom. We have some questions we'd like to think about as we pursue this topic. First of all, is praying for wisdom something that God truly approves of? Or is it presumptuous on our part? Is praying for wisdom something that God truly approves of as an endeavor for a Christian? Or is it presumptuous on our part? Second, what does praying for wisdom then imply? And third, what is this wisdom for which we are to pray? And lastly, how does it apply in our lives? By the Lord's grace, we'll cover all four questions. To answer the first question, we'd like to turn a scripture that no doubt all of you are familiar with because it gives us a wonderful object lesson. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And who can tell us the character that's involved in that chapter without looking? One of the greatest examples of seeking after wisdom, Solomon. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we'd like to read a few verses to answer that question. We'll take it from verse 7, which follows the installation of Solomon as king and his response in the offering to our Heavenly Father, to the high place that was at Gibeon, the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of God, had made in the wilderness. He offered there, we are told, how many burnt offerings? 1,000, verse 6. 1,000 burnt offerings upon the brazen altar. And in that night, verse 7, in that night did God appear to Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed me great mercy, showed great mercy unto David my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, and here's the answer to our question, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. God was indeed pleased that Solomon prayed and asked for wisdom. And if we look in the antitypical picture, brethren, of the kings of Israel, and particularly David and Solomon, We see that David was a warrior king. He was one that fought many battles to obtain the peace and security that his son Solomon could build upon, a kingdom that was peaceable for the large part. And we think that, of course, David pictures the church in its fleshly experiences, its walk this side the veil. It pictures all of the fightings that we have against the fleshly nature, against the world, the flesh, and the devil that constantly assail us. And particularly as we are in this hour of temptation, do we appreciate that struggle. And we strive daily to render our accounts before the Lord and bring our sacrifices in His service and work at removing any wrinkles or any spots upon our garment. This is the struggle that David pictured in his warring career. Solomon pictures rather the church triumphant, the church beyond the veil, the work that the church will be given was likened unto the governing work of Solomon. And so we think that we can read into this acclamation of the Heavenly Father, and we may appreciate that we, looking at the antitypical Solomon, seeing ourselves portrayed there, can be seen as pleasing to the Lord. Should we ask for the wisdom that will enable us to be kings and priests in that peaceable kingdom, the full mediatorial phase of which is yet before us. Indeed, if we ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding as we outwork our salvation day by day, if we seek the Lord's face that we may be guided according to the precepts of the Scriptures and have a working understanding of how we might be involved in cooperating with Him in this work of building up these living stones, then He will be very pleased, as He was with Solomon. And brethren, we know that we can yet see very dimly what the Lord has in store for us. But as He said to Solomon, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had before thee, neither shall there any after have the like. Brethren, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what the Lord hath in store for them that love Him. We need to follow the precepts of wisdom, seeking guidance from the Lord as a primary means of showing Him our faithfulness. First Corinthians, the second chapter, we're familiar also with this passage, I'm sure, dealing much with the subject of wisdom, God's wisdom versus the wisdom of mankind, whom the apostle says is foolishness. The true wisdom cometh from above. So we'll take 2 Corinthians, and we'll go to the second chapter, and we'll turn to verses 5 onward. Pardon me, 1 Corinthians, brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, reckoned perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, brethren, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brethren, wisdom here is given freely to us for the asking. And the way we ask is through prayer. And the way we inculcate that request is to show our Heavenly Father through our study and meditation that we are seeking after this wisdom. And we wish to apply it in our consecrated walk. What does praying for wisdom imply? Well, first of all, it implies that we want to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father, for He is pleased to give us an understanding that can only be comprehended by those who are spiritually minded. As our brother yesterday said, only those who have entered into the tabernacle and into the holy can receive this wisdom, this understanding, this direction. It implies obedience, but it implies more than that. It implies faithfulness. It implies a desire of faithfulness to the Heavenly Father in every aspect of our conformity to His will. And it also indicates a desire to be working in harmony with His plans. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 that we are considered, as we enter upon this walk and continue on it, to be co-laborers with our Heavenly Father. In other words, desiring to know those things that He would give us, that we might then do the work that He would have us do in relation to His will, that we might embark upon this journey of faith and continue on it in such a way that we would indicate to Him that we are fully in conformity with the work He is doing, that work of developing the bride of Christ, and we as individual members conforming to the pattern of that bride. So we read, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." We are workers together with Him. We also find in 1 Corinthians the 3rd chapter and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." What is this wisdom that we pray for? Dr. Strong tells us that the word most often translated as wisdom is Sophia, the Greek. And we're familiar with the root of Sophia in words like philosophy, a lover of wisdom. Thayer tells us, though, that the word wisdom has a very broad application of meaning. Sophia has a broad and full application dealing with intelligence and knowledge. And Dr. Thayer tells us Sophia is a very much a pervasive term covering applications in many different aspects, and the application of Sophia is related to the experience that is described in the context. And so we find that wisdom then is pervasive overall in our seeking it. It is intended to be wisdom that will cover every aspect of our walk. God is wisdom, we are told, and His wisdom is, we know, a part of that four cornerstones of His character. How would we look at God's wisdom? Is God's wisdom only knowledge? We would have to say no. It includes knowledge, but it is, to me, knowledge is like stored information. It's there, but it is not really purposive until it is called upon to fulfill a particular purpose. So we see that God's wisdom is more than knowledge. It is an active, purposive function. And it is directed in the outworking of His plan. It is His wisdom that designed this universe. It is His wisdom then that brought out the applications of that knowledge, that plan, in every particular. So it's an active outworking of the knowledge that God possesses within Himself. And He makes that available to us indeed, as Solomon said, this is so great a blessing. Christ also, we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, is made unto us wisdom. And we see that the beginning of our attaining the wisdom that God would give us begins when we, like those in ancient Israel, in the camp of Israel, saw the opportunities provided by the tabernacle. Christ has first made unto us wisdom in our drawing to Him by the Father, in our appreciating His ransom sacrifice. We remember the tabernacle has three doors or openings. One, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and eventually, I am the life. We see that Christ has made unto us wisdom in all three aspects, but primarily in our drawing within the court to see His sacrifice, to see the work there of the cleansing, to see the opportunity of sacrifice to then lead us to the step of justification by faith, that reckoned justification. We tie ourselves at the door of the tabernacle. And as the Lord's goat, we are offered to Him. And we appreciate that this wisdom then expands as we move within the tabernacle picture itself. This wisdom is granted to us in the holy. We see that access into this condition of justification and its work of sanctifying us as well, we are led to see by the light of the golden candlestick, to see a reflection of God's plan. No one else can see it except those who are in that room. This is the blessed privilege. This is truly the closet into which we may go, into the Word of God, to see by the light of the golden candlestick, and then to eat of the shewbread. I think Brother Art did an explanation of this in regards to justification yesterday. So we appreciate that this aspect of enlightenment, of the knowledge and wisdom of God, comes to us through those things which we find in the holy. And we are truly blessed. And our minds are open to see, even though through a glass darkly, what this treasure is of the unspeakable riches of God's wisdom. God, the knowledge of God's will is made known to us as revealed in Scripture for our own salvation in accordance with His plan and character. We find a combination of prayer and study is the avenue by which we may obtain this. 2 Timothy 3:15-17 and 2 Timothy 2:15 relating to the importance of this as a process. The wisdom of God is given to us so that we may use the opportunities to seek His face and to seek His grace to cover every eventuality of our walk. We find in James, the 2nd chapter, pardon me, 1st chapter, James 1, verse 5, this promise. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, or reproacheth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So, brethren, we are given this invitation to seek the Lord in prayer and ask for Him for that wisdom that He would offer us. This wisdom really is knowledge applied. We find much in the study of Scripture and the works that are given to us regarding the work of our seventh messenger, to help us in our Christian walk. And it covers every aspect of our life. We find the wisdom in the Scriptures that talks about being a glorifying reflection of God's creation. Luke, the 2nd chapter, verses 42 and 52. We find information as to how to relate to those who are our brethren, and how to work out differences. We find information as to how to relate to those outside who are not our brethren. Colossians 4, verse 5. We find information of how best to present the truth to others. Colossians 1, 28 and 3, 16. We are given instruction as to how to live practically a godly and upright life that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. James 1, 5, 3, 17. We are given information on how to handle persecutions and trials, what to say in circumstances in which we have those who even are sometimes those of our immediate family, those close to us, who present us with persecution for our faith and for our walk. Read Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 14 to 19. We are given an understanding of the Scriptures, an understanding of the plan of God through our request for knowledge. The knowledge of that divine plan, the mind of Christ, is made available to us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, and Ephesians 1, and verse 8. We see that our time is up, and we feel we just sort of touched the surface. But we'd like to just call your attention to a reprint article, 2263, and 64 as a very good article dealing with our sufficiencies of God. And it presents for us those same conditions that our brother Wes gave us yesterday in regards to asking anything of the Lord. And that is three conditions. One, asking in faith. Asking in faith. It is based upon our justified standing and our faith that we can approach God and be able to receive that which He will give to us. Second, we must have humility. Reprints 22:63 states, "The greater our humility, the greater our trust in the Lord's wisdom, and only the humble will seek to obey the heavenly wisdom from the great counselor." As we read in John 6:45, "They shall all be taught of God." We'd like to read in closing, page 686, volume 6, these words of our pastor. "Surely we would ask nothing more than has been promised respecting the future glories of the new creation, nor could we ask more respecting the present joys of the same class. Every provision that reason could imagine, every want, every necessity has already been anticipated for us and provided, given to us for the taking. We merely lack wisdom as to how to take, how to appropriate these divine provisions. Giving thanks, therefore, we merely ask for wisdom and grace, so to partake of them that our joy may be full. Our request, therefore, brethren, must be for increased filling with the Holy Spirit, wisdom from above." We would like to, as a teacher, sometimes we use acronyms to help remember things. So I was going to preface the remarks with, what would you make as an acronym for the word wisdom? Using the W, the I, the S, the D, and the O, and the M to bring it closer to your heart and your daily experience. I didn't ask that, so I usually have more material than I can cover. But I'm going to share this with you. This is my personal acronym. W, holy, completely, inculcating, inculcating, imbibing, implementing, integrating, S, God's spiritual, D, direction, O, over our mind. So just to review, holy, inculcating God's spiritual direction over our mind. To me, this is seeking the wisdom that He would have us have. May the Lord bless you.